Hey there, welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where real people from the trans community get together to share their stories, struggles, and victories.
Get ready for some genuine and relatable conversations that dive into the heart of the trans experience and beyond.
We have so much to share, so grab your headphones and let's dive into the awesome and diverse world of becoming and living our own truth.
So finally, here it is, the collab that we did with Mirror on the Wall, with one of our hostess, Victor Ochoa, as well as with Callie and myself. We hope that you guys get to enjoy it, and hopefully you get to hear something that inspires you. With no further delay, here's that episode.
Welcome to Mirror on the Wall, where we take the time to reflect deep inside ourselves to make a positive impact not only within our lives, but in the lives of those who surround us.
I'm empty, bitter, upset. You know what I mean? Like there's no change.
Right.
All you did was took away my solution, and now I'm fucked.
So, it's again the trust factor that comes into play. There's a passage in the Bible and in the book of John. There's a couple of things. There's one that talks about the cripple and the miracle of the cripple when God goes into the bath houses. There's a bathhouse. Mm-hmm. And this is where people would bathe in the water, and the water was supposed to be healing water. And there was a cripple there on his cot. This was on a Sabbath day. And Christ walks in and he tells him to get up, walk and pick up his bed and go. And the cripple walks up, and then he goes and talks to the rabbis. Mm-hmm. And the rabbis are like, who told you it's the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do anything today, you're supposed to just kind of relax? And then he's like, no, well, he told me to get up and walk. And who told you? I don't know. So he runs into Christ again, and then he tells him, hey, I got in trouble for doing what you told me to do. And he basically told him, if you got to trust in God, and your blessing has come, but make sure you don't squander your blessing, because you don't know how much worse your next punishment would be, right? And that resonated a lot with me with my addiction and my recovery. I got to a point where I felt my blessing came, and I was no longer crippled, and I was able to kind of have a more clear perspective, more clear mind to be able to have the strength to start taking action, go to meetings, get a sponsor, begin to seek spiritual support, church, and again through different avenues. We started the podcast, Gary and I, so all those have been spiritual tools that have helped. There's another passage of the 12 apostles being in, trying to cross, I think, and again, I'm not really good with the Bible, but they're trying to cross from Jerusalem, and they get into real turbulent waters, and Jesus is asleep underneath the boat. One of the apostles runs down and he tells him, there's a storm, we're gonna cap over, and we're gonna die. And Jesus wakes up and tells him, do you really not trust in me to believe that I'm gonna let you guys, or I'm gonna lead you into death? Mm-hmm. And the guy obviously gives it to Jesus, and Jesus goes up and tells the waters to calm, and the waters came down. And so those two passages really resonated with me in regards to being able to trust and be able to just give it to God as I understand them, and just allow things to be without me having to be impulsive and having to feel the need, or having to feel that I'm feeling sad or depressed or anxious or whatever the case is. For you, Kelly, you were talking about learning to find the blessing, or learning to find the lesson through the adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's been almost, it's been 2 years for you, and you continue to manifest that, right? That you find the blessings,
yeah,
you find the lesson.
I would say yes, mostly yes, absolutely. I'm always trying to look for the blessing in the lesson, or the lesson in the blessing, or the adversity, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I really do struggle with relaxing, letting go, and really just kind of like letting the gifts of my hard work saturate me. sometimes.
Okay.
I kind of have a hard time with that. Like right now, I just moved into a new place. It's such a better situation. Every time that I'm moving or doing something, it feels like my higher power, I say, God is giving me all this that I've ever wanted. Even from back before I started my addiction, I could remember myself sitting back saying, I wish I had this. I wish I could do this. I wish I was good enough to have that or do this. And now I get it in a way that is perfect for now. And it's still hard for me sometimes to kind of quiet the noise in my head and just sit back and relax.
Yeah.
You know, even in the situation I'm in now, the house that I live at, it's actually incredibly peaceful. It's a sober environment. But when I first showed up to the house, I actually had, and this is interesting because the guys at Crossroads were a lot more accepting than some of the girls here at this new house that I went to.
Really?
Yes. They actually caused a huge funk. They even told me to my face, they're like, you're a man, you're not a woman, and blah, 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 blah. And it's all because that they got in trouble for having their boyfriends in the house when they're not supposed to. It's an all women's house. And
right.
So we agree and sign up to live here. And, you know, we choose to live a certain way so that everybody could be happy in the house together.
Right.
And so they're breaking the rules and I'm saying something about it because I want to be, you know, I signed up for what's going to be, you know, right for
safe
me
environment,
and a safe
right?
environment. And so they kind of went off and they basically blew up on me and tried to treat me as less of a human than I am. But what they didn't know is that I'm pretty strong now, 2 years, you know, into my sobriety, and I've experienced both the ups and the downs up to this point. And my 2-year-old sobriety definitely was able to handle it a lot better than they thought that I was gonna. And so now this week is really gonna be focused on how is it gonna look for me to be confident, secure, to absorb the blessings, and to basically stay in my sobriety and not take anything from myself. Because I have a habit of doing that too in my sobriety, is taking things. When something doesn't feel right, I'll take something away so that what I do have that does feel right can stay strong and be, you know, at the forefront of what I'm doing. But I really want to learn how to like be sober and not have to remove a whole crap load of stuff just to hold on to what I have. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I know God is blessing me with all these things, and the world is giving me opportunities to receive his blessings and the interactions that I'm having with people. But what I really would like is to not have to remove any of that and still receive those
blessings. On that, elaborate on that. So give me an example. What do you mean by removing?
Okay, so
I mean, I know what you mean by removing,
okay,
but like,
so
what items or things?
There's a lot of like things socially right now. So like if something's upsetting me, let's say with guys, like if things with the guys aren't going right, you know what I mean, like dating or whatever, then I kind of want to like, my instinct is to like, okay, well, we're not dating right now, you know what I mean, or our conversation doesn't go quite right, so I'm like, okay, well, I can't talk to them right now, you know, I don't want to be that person that treats people harshly because I'm going somewhere,
right?
You know what I mean? I want them to be able to have the opportunity to bless me and to bless themselves by being in my life without me having to shut the door completely because I, you know, maybe it's a level of strength that I feel like maybe my soul is reaching towards in my sobriety, where I'm supposed to be. Is I feel like I want to be that kind of person that can go have a moment where I get a mocktail Corona, like you said, and I don't feel so guilty for the reasoning, because really you know, the way that your stance on it is quite kind of like accurate for the 2-year-old sobriety, you know what I mean? Like, so, and to where I'm at is like, I see that I kind of want to feel bad for the changes that I make. I feel like a horrible person when I feel like I need to set somebody aside because the way that they're interacting with me is making me feel a certain type of way. And I maybe don't yet have those tools, or I just am not allowing those tools to operate in me the way that they need to. But I do know that where I'm at in my sobriety is I want to make sure that I'm just as much as an open door as the doors are open for me.
Right. So sobriety versus recovery, based on what you're saying, because I completely understand that. I have gone through friendships, relationships that I have decided to set a boundary. It's a boundary that I'm not happy with or comfortable with, but I know that is based on what I'm looking for or what I'm wanting to do in my recovery. I know that there's boundaries or there's removals mm-hmm. of circumstances, situations, actions, or even people are needed, need to happen. Because looking at the overall picture of what I'm intending to do in my life today and what's important in my life, it doesn't fit and it's hindering or it's beginning to contaminate certain emotions or certain mm-hmm. thoughts yeah. or certain yeah. behaviors, mm-hmm. right? And even though I want that situation, I know that I need to cognitively and, you know, actively make that decision. Yeah. And that's where my sponsor has told me, and that's recovery. That's the difference between your sobriety and your recovery. That's the difference between working a program of recovery where you have perspective and you have a vision and the narrative has changed. I no longer have to adapt to the other person's behaviors if those particular behaviors are not in line with what is working in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for me to have that decision okay. as an individual, as a man, and as someone in recovery, to say, as much as I enjoy your presence, as much as I enjoy, you know, everything else, it's just not aligning with what it's, you know, what I want in my life today. And it's difficult.
Sorry, there's so much to unpack in what you guys are saying. Like, there's so much meat and potatoes there. Yeah. You know, like, one of the things that resonated with me right now when you're saying sobriety versus recovery, what people don't understand is that, at least for myself, drugs and alcohol were never the problem.
Right.
They were never, like I did them just fine. You know, like, yeah. bring me a bottle and I'll show you how to down it.
Yeah.
That was never the problem. The difference between sobriety and recovery for me is that if I'm just sober, that means you took away my solution and I ain't got nothing else to cope with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right. empty, bitter, upset. You know what I mean? Like there's no change.
Right.
All you did was took away my solution, and now I'm fucked.
Mm.
Recovery means I have the coping skills. I have tools, and I have a different solution. See, addiction came to serve a purpose in my life. Right. And it did. I'm grateful for my addiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love the fact that I'm a recovering addict, because today I can enjoy the benefits of recovery.
Yes.
And today I have an answer. Today I have a coping skill. Today I no longer need to live the same way. The difference between sobriety and recovery is, in sobriety, I put up walls, which don't allow anyone to come in. But the fucked up part is that I'm trapped in there and I cannot get out neither.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery tells me boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't shut you all the way down,
right?
But I will tell you, this is not acceptable.
Right.
And when I set those boundaries are not there for you to respect.
Right.
I set those boundaries for me to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep violating those boundaries, then it's not up to you to reinforce them. It's up to me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So today I don't just cut off people of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Today I set a boundary. You don't respect it. Then that means you made the choice to not be in my life.
Right.
But I never put a wall where you can never come back into it.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you have your four walls, and recovery is you put some windows up and you put a door.
There you go.
You allow people in mm-hmm. into what your world is now, and you can look out to the world and be okay with that person being at the bus stop getting high, and you know that's their life, and this person, you know, being in a abusive relationship, and you can give them advice, but if they don't take action, then that's on them. And then, you know, you allow people that are willing to participate in your dynamic, in
exactly.
your life, in what your home is. And now you get to choose
amen to
effectively
that.
Who you're going to keep in your life.
You used, and it's the pool of Fest, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
when you talked about that Bible passage.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that if you notice, and we're not here to convert you into
right, this isn't about
become
religion,
a Christian,
yeah.
but repent and accept Jesus. No, I'm just saying. But like, it is just the God that I have, and it's the better way for me to explain.
Your understanding what,
exactly.
of what your power.
So,
yeah.
one of the things that it's constant in every single miracle that he ever did is the fact that he told him, now this is a crippled guy. He said, get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A guy that came because he was blind, go to the river and wash your eyes 7 times, right? Mm-hmm. To another woman, and this was not Jesus, it was just God, like, she was, they were going to take her kids, and Elijah goes like, what do you have in your house? Oh, I just have the little oil. Well, go gather some jars, right? Every single time that there's a miracle in the Bible, you would see that the blessing doesn't come
without
while you're sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always on your way to right. the blessing, that the blessing come. One of the things that I keep telling my clients too is like, a lot of us pray for blessings, but what we don't understand is that every blessing comes with a responsibility. We want the blessing, but we don't want to conform to the responsibility. Today I have the blessing of having a job and a paycheck. My responsibility is tomorrow morning when I cash that check, am I going to turn right to work or am I going to turn left to the trap house?
Right.
Am I going to utilize the blessings that I have today to be of service to others? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to be greedy? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So like those are the things in how my perspective when it comes to recovery versus sobriety. One of the things that you were saying is like, well, sometimes I get angry or sometimes this, sometimes that. In sobriety, I hate who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In sobriety, I don't like me and I try to fit in and I try to conform to the entire world. In recovery,
mm-hmm.
I become whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm not as good as I think I am,
mm-hmm.
but that's a blessing because I also know that I'm not as bad as I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned to do is I learned to love my yin and my yang, my good and my bad, and understand that just because I get angry doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just because I have a good heart
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that I don't get frustrated.
Right.
All of those things are truths simultaneously. Because all of those concepts live within me.
Mm-hmm.
So once I accept that there's good and bad within me, it's harder for me to get upset with me because today when I make a mistake, I'm like, bitch, you done fucked up. It's okay, let's try it tomorrow. I've become my own mother. I discipline myself and I don't make excuses, but I do give myself grace.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Excuses say, well, I'm this way because like the world did this, the world did that. You know what I mean? Excuses is just blaming everything else, but taking responsibility.
Lack of accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no, but like that's what I've learned today, you know,
yeah.
right? And when it comes to excuses versus grace, in grace, I forgive myself for the mistakes that I do make.
Right. Which is one of the things that I said was the hard thing too. So you, Kelly, were you going to say something?
Oh yeah. You had mentioned some of the struggles like in my early sobriety or recovery.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking, LG, I just had a visual about the gas station that's just down the road from your house. I was thinking about a bunch of stuff. And then I remember how when the beginning of my, I guess, solo sobriety is never solo. But I guess, you know, when I first went out and left rehab and I ended up in my first half,
right.
my first halfway house, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Sober living. And there's a lot more freedom that comes along with that. You got a job, you got, you know, bills, you got spending money.
You don't
you
have
know?
Somebody looking at you all the time.
Yeah, and you don't have somebody looking at you all the time. And then you are like in your mode of to and from work and you're going to get your drinks and you're going to get your food and you're going to get your whatever else you catch on to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had struggled with a little bit of like overactive gambling habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say an addiction because I obviously am in recovery because I was blessed and was able to have that struggle where I found myself like getting the scratcher tickets
mm-hmm.
and I started out small and then I ended up doing like $200 a week on those suckers and I wasn't winning anything, you
yeah.
know? And my friends were like, Kylie, you kind of have a habit growing, you know? And
yeah.
then I was able to stop for a second. Like, man, I really love the rush, but it's way worth being the person that is able to say that to somebody
yeah.
as opposed to having it to be said to you.
Right.
And so, like, I don't know, I just am really grateful to be in that mode of recovery
right.
all the time. Things are happening like that, you know? Hey, I'm smoking too many cigarettes. Oh, can't believe I'm smoking cigarettes. Okay, I better slow down a little bit, you know? But then it's important, you're right, because recovery is, you have sobriety all the time throughout recovery. You're going to always have it.
Right.
But to have sobriety and to be able to recover when, you know, to be able to live the ebbs and flows, that is like where we're recovering, where we're triumphing, where we're turning around, but we're not walking the other way. We're turning around just so we could get the, you know, full view of everything. And then we're able to move forward again. And I think it's such a blessing to know the difference between the two so that you can merge the two and so that you can
mm-hmm.
live in sobriety and recover.
Right.
You know, each and every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that recovery is a byproduct of the work that you put in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. One of the things that you said is that because you went through the recovery, you were able to see certain things that you were not able to. And I think that that's the beauty of recovery. Mm-hmm. When we start practicing all of these principles in all of our affairs.
Right.
Today, I'm able to be more mindful. And I think that that's one of the key words right there, being mindfulness. You know, like today I know that if I do this too much, like why am I really doing this? Mm-hmm. You mean, like I said, I don't make excuses and I give myself grace. But I also question and challenge my thinking mm-hmm. because my irrational thinking, it's always there. You know what I mean? Like, they don't like me. They hate me. They're probably thinking, like, I always have to rethink and say, like, let's check the facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Earlier today, you said feelings and emotions and all of that. And what I've learned is that they're valid. My feelings and emotions are valid, but they're not facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But
most of the time when I'm feeling that people don't like me, it's just me being in my head. You know what I mean? Is that feeling valid? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But then I come to find out that it was not factual. And today what I've learned to do is challenge everything in my life with facts. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't go with the heart. Of course I go with the heart. That's mm-hmm. why I have my higher power for mm-hmm. it. But the book also says he didn't give us brains not to use them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do my best to connect my brain to my heart and to do the best work possible that I can to stay clean and sober. Because you mentioned my apartment. There's still days when I get up in the middle of the night or I come home or I sit on that couch and I touch the walls and I'm like, is this real? Mm. You know what I mean? Because right. it's the first time at the age of 43 that I have my own place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I've always lived with family, with roommates, you know, in my car. But I've never had my own place. And I'm proud of that today. Yeah. And not in a sense of pride, but in a sense of accomplishment. I know that a lot of things that I have today are by the grace of God. And because a lot of people today do support me. Today I no longer, I can be by myself, but not for a second do I ever feel loneliness.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel supported. I feel that I can call you, I can call Callie, I can call my girls, I can call my family, I can call whoever and they'll pick up the phone and I'll have somebody to talk to. Mm. Just because there's physical distance doesn't mean that they're not here. And for me, that was thanks to recovery. Learning to live sober was learning to not doing shit on my own.
It's to actually recover.
You know what I mean?
Right.
To actually have others around me. Because here's the thing. They said that addicts and alcoholics are the only people that are suffering from loneliness. And they prescribe themselves isolation mm. for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And today, like, I can be by myself in my house. But it's not isolation and it's not loneliness anymore. It's being comfortable with my own fucking company.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I said, learning to love myself with the good and the bad, it helps me to like be okay with me being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what recovery has done for me.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think it's a never-ending process. Because we continue to grow early stages and we're going to have challenges come up. There'll be deaths, there'll be
mm-hmm.
firings, there'll be the whatever, you know, natural disasters, whatever the case may be. Today, for today, we live in the comfort of the notion that so far for today, we've decided to be sober and seek recovery. How do we do that? How do we do that today? Well, you know, we have fellowship. Today we sat down and we had a conversation about what life has looked like and what those challenges have been. And it allows us to reflect, right? And in the hopes that maybe this conversation may help someone just kind of find some comfort in their own struggles or, you know, find similarities. And that's the difference too in recovery. I no longer try to find, you know, the differences. In the past, in my past, I wouldn't have been comfortable coming to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or sitting here with both of you as my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I was blessed with a different perspective for many reasons. Right? But nevertheless, the recovery comes with the acceptance of the opportunity of growth and the opportunity of change. And I don't have to live in my old ways and I don't have to live in my old, you know, I always talk about in the meetings, I always talk about the difference of being educated and being domesticated.
Hmm.
And I no longer have to live with how society domesticated me and how, you know, certain perspectives or certain aspects of my life or my family taught me life should be. Today I get the decision to live life in my own terms on the newfound perspective.
What I found really cute is the fact that you said, like I wouldn't have felt comfortable with coming to your house. And if I'm honest, and I think that that's something that we don't speak enough about, mm-hmm. is how uncomfortable it would have been for me to invite you to come over.
Mm-hmm.
We, like you said, we've been domesticated to believe certain things. And just the same way that guys can be homophobic, I think that at a certain point in my life, I was straightphobic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where right. I fear the straight guys and I didn't want them around because right. they were violent, they were this, they were that. And I wouldn't feel comfortable around them neither.
Right.
You get what I'm
the
saying?
The stigmas of our perspective.
And,
yeah.
And it blocked me from a lot of fucking friendships.
Mm-hmm.
It prevented me from being open to receive new data, to receive new knowledge. One of the things that you said, this is a learning process and it's a daily process. And I think that one of the things that has allowed me to grow every single day more, it's the fact that I keep an open mind and that today I say, I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep my mind open to learn from anyone that's willing to teach me something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and the other thing I was laughing is because you said today I like I feel comfortable being here and I'm like, well, let's lock the door. Little does he know. But see, and even that, like us being able to play around like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's beautiful.
And that's the whole concept of mirror on the wall. Because now it's about how I feel internally, not about how the perception or the external view of who I am to the rest of the world looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because today I find love and I find comfort and I find companionship and I find friendship and I find knowledge and I find support in you guys, with you guys, mm-hmm. through our fellowship, through the process that we've, the growth that we've seen in each other, right? And that's what matters to me now, not what the homie thinks or not what, you know, that person thinks or not what anyone really has or believes about what my actions and my decisions are today. And I feel more comfortable corroborating my thoughts and my feelings, just like I'm doing now with you guys, about some real true shit that I'm going through than anyone else is going to tell me what they think I should be doing. You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to thank you, Victor. As you were talking, I remember being at Crossroads and then I thought it would be funny to say, hey, Victor, can you sign my slip? But then I realized like that's one of the things that really got me through my very early recovery is I was a very scared person too in that time. And I was very afraid of the environment that I was in at first. And I was on shore and I thought, you know, it was going to be like judged all the time. But every time I walked into that meeting that you ran, you were always there just like treating me like you knew me for 1,000 years. Like I felt like I never, ever felt so comfortable in a meeting before. Like, you know, it was like I was supposed to be there, you know, like they say when you get to heaven, somebody's going to be there saying you made it. That's how I felt, you know, and right. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
That's something that I kind of want to tell you has inspired me to uphold that in my interactions with other people. I don't know if you listen to Trans Experience, a podcast, but we have talked about that a few times. Just my strong belief and my strong effort to be loved and to love and you know, those interactions with people, you know,
right.
how important they are to me and how open-minded and just available that I'd like to be to the world around me. I think part of it really stems from like the way that you and other people have treated me in my early sobriety. Even the judge was like, sure, we're going to give her the opportunity. She can go to rehab instead of getting
Correct.
3 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I didn't get the email, but sure, go ahead. It sounds like a great idea. Let's save her if we can, you know? And so, these little moments like that, or like you just treating me like, you know, like, you've always known me like I was supposed to be there, you know? that really helped me to do that with the next person and the next person. And look at us, we're like 2 and 3 years, you know,
right,
into our sobrieties and recovery, sorry.
And we've seen so many people mm-hmm. fall, right?
Yeah.
We've had a few deaths,
mm-hmm. yeah.
People close to us.
Yep.
We've had people, I work in outreach, and I'm out on the streets, right? Outreaching the individuals experiencing homelessness. And part of that is I'm on a daily basis, and this is horrible, in a way, on a daily basis, I check the MCSO mugshots
mm-hmm.
just to see if any of my clients are there mm-hmm. or if I need to follow up on them. And unfortunately, on a daily basis, I have one or two names of individuals that got arrested that I know of or are in contact with or are working with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very sad reality that a lot of people don't make it because it's very difficult to break those chains. And we talked about that in our collab a while back, is breaking the chains. We used to hand the reins to people to tell us what we were supposed to feel like. You know,
yeah.
We talked about that. You know, you tell me how to feel. And I that stood with me too. You know, LG said that, it shattered. Like whatever that smoking mirror was or glass of the self-acceptance got shattered when she made that statement, because I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really depended on someone else telling me I was worth. Even to this day, when I'm talking about that relationship, little strings are still attached to that need to feel accepted or wanted or needed, or that I'm worth something, right?
So there's this guy, and for a second I was like, ooh, maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed, and I hate this shit. I prayed, and the next day he didn't even talk to me, bro. In my prayer, I was like, God, please, if he's not for me,
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because today I want to do what my higher power wants me to do.
I do the same thing.
You know what I mean? He did that. And in my head, like I'm in this place like laughing, because I'm like, seriously, like I pray so many times for other things and I'm still waiting for them. But this one, you're going to go like right away. You know what I mean? But I have to be willing to allow those things and to listen when he does shit like that.
Yeah.
Because I can ignore it and be like, he's probably playing hard to get. You know what I mean? Because that's where my thinking goes. But today I'm able to see shit differently, and it's a blessing. There's this beautiful, and both of you guys are talking about self-love and all of that, and there's this beautiful passage in the Bible that says, and love others the way that you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It implies you have to love you first. The reason I'm able to love you and to love you, it's because I love me today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people, we come into places of, like recovery and like that, and they're like, just love yourself. Bitch, I don't even know who the fuck I am. How am I going to love me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But through the process, I've learned to love myself. I've learned that I'm capable of giving love. But the beautiful thing is that today I also accept that I'm worthy of
right.
receiving it. A lot of times, forgiveness to oneself, so you were speaking about. A pastor that I listened to said, imagine what would have happened if Paul would have never forgiven himself for the shit that he did to the Christians.
Right.
He would have never wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. You know what I mean? Self-forgiveness is so important. And because the way that I see it today is like, if the mighty God that I believe in says that I'm loved, says that I'm a citizen of heaven, the apple of his eye,
mm-hmm.
that he has nothing but crowns for me in heaven, who am I to say that's not true?
Right.
Who am I to say that that's not possible? And who am I not to accept that forgiveness, that it's been given to me already, and all I need to do is reach out for it? The problem when it comes to spirituality is that spirituality is like having your father,
mm-hmm.
and you keep trying to do things to become more of his daughter or his son. Here's the thing, your kids that you have today,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing in this world that they can do to become more of your kids, because they're already yours. I keep seeking to please some and to create a relationship that it's already mine with my higher power.
Right.
And that was the problem back then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Today, I know that I am as much as his daughter as anybody else is. And I am as worthy with that relationship as anyone else is. You know, and again, that's thanks to recovery.
And that's a key factor. And I think we'll leave it with that. Spirituality is a major, major factor. However you perceive that spirituality to look like.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of my conversation and my connection, my relationship with the God of my choosing does not in any way or form have to impact my love and care for anyone.
Amen.
You have to respect that. But at the end of the day, you also have to be willing to accept that relationship on your own and be willing to allow that. It's crazy. And I said I was going to just leave it at that. But to me, it almost felt like building that relationship with God, it was almost like a superpower. Because when I feel that distress, and when I tell him, like, God, if this is not meant for me, and it happens, it almost feels like you now have a direct line, like, oh, he's listening. Like he's really watching out for me. And I trust that. And I truly, truly, like.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I feel that every day. I love that.
And I didn't have that before. And I resented that so much because I saw people like, oh, the Spirit of God.
May I share something with you before we go? It's okay. Yeah. So as a trans woman, society told us we can only do one job. And mm-hmm. we already know what that job is. So a few months back, I was in financial fear. Now, mind you, I had a good amount in my savings and a good amount in my, but it's never enough. So I was in that fear. I'm sitting in my room, and this was at night, and I'm like, I should put my ad up again. You know what I mean? Just make a little cash. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with that, right? And in my head, I keep on thinking about, you know, putting my ad or posting my ad on this website. And by the time I was falling to sleep, in my head, I already had resoluted that the next morning, I was going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And this has happened to me twice in my recovery. The next morning I wake up, I reach for my phone because I was about to do it. And there was a scholarship that I have applied for again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you've been approved, you'll be receiving this money this day. And I was like, and I felt, like you said, like that power. And that at that point, God was like saying, I took you out of the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep you out of the gutter.
Right.
Like, I don't need you going back to places where I already pulled you out from.
Right.
And there's no shame to the girls that do that, because here's the thing. I'm proud that I ever did that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it helped me to acquire many things. It helped me to learn a lot that just because I was, I'm going to say it like nicely as I can, a whore, didn't mean that I could be a prostitute, because I still needed to show up to work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I thought that it was easy because I was easy. But it was never the case. So I gained mad respect for them. But I feel like my higher power was like, that's not what I called you to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I allowed you to walk through there so that you can learn certain things from there.
Right.
But that's what we're not, that is not where I'm going to keep you.
Yeah.
And I pulled you out of there. So like, those are some of the experiences, like you said, where you feel like you have a supernatural power, especially when he answers to you like that.
Yeah.
But the whole relationship, though, he could have taken at least a week. You know, let me enjoy that for a little minute.
Let you dwell on that for a little bit.
Let me dwell on that.
All right. So we're going to end it with that. I want to thank both Kelly and LG for allowing me into your house. Thank you for sitting with me and sharing you guys' strength and hope. And I love this. We've been wanting to do this. It's unfortunate that the rest of our crews are out,
right.
But they're doing great things.
This would have been out the back, bro. Like, managing, like, imagine me and Maddie with Gary in the same room. Like, we're loud and we get ratchet.
So. But we definitely have to find a time and a place to be able to do that. That would be interesting on how we would be able to get that accomplished. But have like a panel type thing.
You know what I would like for us to record it? Video.
Yeah.
For us to do like a whole hour episode with all of us, I think
that'll be
amazing.
Yeah, I haven't actually moved into video, but yeah, we could definitely do that.
We haven't either, so I guess it'll be new for you guys and for us. And
yeah.
Again, the only reason Trans Experience was created was because I was so motivated by what you guys were doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to thank you for that. And like Kali says, you haven't been anything but kind, nice, and always treated us with such respect, and always treated us like ladies. And I really appreciate that. You know, I mean, it makes a difference in people's lives, especially in early recovery. And the beautiful thing about this is that you were acting like you were, like you had like 8 years of recovery when you didn't. And that kindness and that good heart of yours was there already. You get what I'm trying to say? And you were tolerant of us. And again, we appreciate that. And
well, I love you both. You both have been part of my recovery. One. No, I love you both. I love all of you guys. You guys are my sisters.
Amen to that.
We are growing together in our own way, in our own process, in our own lives. And you guys bring strength, love, hope, and courage for me to get over myself at times and realize that, you know, this is possible. This is doable.
Amen.
Meaning the recovery. And that's an everyday, you know, goal for me. Again, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to our conversation today. We missed the ones who weren't here. We will do something with them hopefully soon. And for the ones who are here, I'm extremely grateful for you guys.
Thank you.
So once again, my name is Victor.
This is LG.
My name's Callie.
This is Mirror on the Wall.
Thank you for listening to another episode. We hope you enjoyed it and will find the time to leave a comment with your feedback.
You can like us and follow us on facebook.com/transexperience3.
Also, feel free to email us at transexperience3@gmail.com. Thank you.